Hey, everybody, just a quick note that in this episode of the podcast, we do discuss the next Bachelorette. So if you do not want to be spoiled on who that is, you'll just want to probably skip this episode. Thank you. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I'm on my own hometown date, meaning I'm in my hometown and I'm just living my best life. I've made it with three people in mud puddles already today.
Ooh, perfect.
Yeah. My dad isn't here though. He had a work conflict, and the conflict was that he wanted to keep his job. So he won't be here tonight.
Doesn't want to associate with us.
No, but he's still. But he doesn't want Nick to ask him for my hand in marriage, because did he ask all the other families that too?
Definitely did do that. Don't know if that's gonna go over too well, but we'll cover that as we get to it. Yeah, hometown is just status quo for you, right, Haley?
Hometown.
Now, refresh my memory. Are you a fan of hometown visits, or is
snooze? Like of people visiting me in my hometown?
No,
on yes, the I like that.
That's
Am I
nice.
A fan of
we
the
had a great
episode
hometown
of,
visit.
We did. We had a wonderful hometown visit. Yes. I have to visit your hometown soon.
You do. That'd be awesome.
The hometown date episode is always a friggin' snooze fest for me. This was the most interesting one in years, and I'd say probably tuned out for at least 25 minutes of it.
Yes.
Like, there's whole swaths of Vanessa's day that I have no recollection of, because I don't know what I was doing. Maybe I was playing Hexic Express on Facebook Messenger games by then. I'm not sure.
Is that a new one? I haven't heard of that one.
Oh my god. The Facebook Messenger games are a real hoot. I have a great time with them. Check them out if you haven't already.
Do you have
Hexic
a username?
Is my favorite.
You're sharing?
No, you just have to like...
You have to be on Facebook with someone?
Yeah, you just basically have to go into like a Facebook chat. So like go into it with like a friend who you know won't mind. And then there's like a little icon at the bottom. That's like a little remote. Not remote. What are those things called? Controller. Mm. Oh. I don't play games.
Yeah.
I don't play video games. And you click that and a list comes up and you can play all these games. There's Sudoku. There's Words with Friends Frenzy, which I get a real kick out of. Yeah, so I play those.
Oh, so they moved Words with Friends, which was like a hit kind of when it first came out.
Yeah, and now,
then died.
Now you don't have to like wait for other people to make their moves. You just do it.
Huh.
It's fun. I like that one. So check out your Facebook games.
Nice. Facebook with something new to offer us.
Yeah.
I like it. So, speaking of something new, wasn't all that new.
Something borrowed and something blue. Get it? This is a marriage show.
This is a marriage show. We've got
something
four
old
women.
Is Nick.
He's the old one. We've got four
really,
women
that was
left.
Rude.
Yeah,
we
like
actually
you said.
Have three women left. Rachel is also there, but she's out of the running. So, what the F are we doing?
Oh, no spoiler alerts on this one.
Oh, shit.
Oh, funny. We'll have to have Sorry. Scott dub in a spoiler alert. Like, we were really careful about it last week, but this week it's like, you should know by now.
Sorry.
That's all right. We have, yeah, technically only three left, but if we suspend disbelief, we are, it frustrated me again because it's like, Rachel had a really intriguing hometown date. I would think she's top two, you know, as you're watching this, if I didn't know any better or
know
anything.
Yeah, I would think she's like winning.
Yeah. Especially when there's, conflict about, you know, he's asking different parents for a blessing and finding, you know, saying these different connections he has. And then we already know this about Rachel. So it kind of takes out like, it just limits the options of
like it was literally the most interesting hometown date I've seen probably since we've been doing this podcast, and it was irrelevant to the story here,
right? Yeah, and I think a lot of people were saying
like, totally irrelevant, but like what are we doing? It doesn't matter to us.
Yeah, we had people tweeting us, should I just fast forward? Should I just skip this? And it was the most interesting one. Yeah. So that's unfortunate. I don't know. Has any more news come out as to why it was released when it was? Or have you heard any?
Because they want to get a bigger pool of contestants or something. They want, like, their thing was like, Rachel's so great. We want to open her up to more and more people. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay.
So then it offends everyone else who's been a Bachelorette in the past.
I guess. I don't know.
That's funny. But we don't start with Rachel.
We start with our good friend Raven.
Yeah. Well, even before that, we have the faux rose ceremony.
Oh, I've totally forgot about that. Yeah. So he broke up with Christina and he comes back and he sits them down and he's like, I don't want to have a real rose ceremony. So he just hands out roses to everyone in their like pajamas. Like, I'm sure none of them were wearing underwear under the shorts.
Right. And there was really no tension there in terms of, I wonder if anyone will actually turn this down at this
point. Yeah. Like, Raven had already gotten a rose and he still gave her another one.
Yeah. It was a little awkward. Just lean over the couch and hug each other as you accept your rose in front of everyone. But hey, it's more cash. Maybe if we could at least just have rose ceremonies, I'll take it, even if they're not.
Yeah, why with couldn't Chris we Harrison. Have seen that at the end of the last episode?
Exactly. Well, we can only have one rose ceremony per episode.
Sorry,
if that.
Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah. So we got that out of the way.
And we certainly didn't get one at the end of this episode.
Not at all. Just a lot of misleading what's to come previews.
A lot of brown hair.
Yeah, mixed up brown hair. But yeah, we start out, as you mentioned, with Raven. I feel like on the hometowns, we start out with one that's always going to be kind of feel good, like more lighthearted. Although there was a serious element to this one, but it starts out kind of a little messy.
Yeah, they go four wheeling, a nightmare. They get muddy, a nightmare. They climb a grain silo, a nightmare. They got talked to by the police, a nightmare. That police officer ended up being Raven's brother.
Not
Can you guess what
all.
This is? A nightmare. All this is horrifying to me as somebody who is soft as jello. Don't take me outside. Don't try and make out with me in a fucking mud puddle. Raven, how much did you pay for those extensions? And you're just going to you're just going to lay down in a puddle of mud?
Oh, it's so gross. Like,
you're just
going to
lay down in a puddle.
That's
what you're going to do?
Yeah. That was really disgusting.
You're never going to get dry again.
There's still stuff up in those crevices.
Gross.
Ooh.
Like, what if that was like quick mud and you sank?
Ooh, quicksand?
Is quick mud a thing?
Quicksand was like something I was scared of when I was like 5.
Yeah, and it doesn't actually exist in real life.
I think it does somewhere, right?
Okay, well, it doesn't exist how we thought it existed.
Yeah. But there's got to be a lot of like frogs and worms and
gross, and probably there's probably a snake. There's 100% a snake in there.
Yeah, something probably laid eggs in her.
That's disgusting.
But it was equal opportunity. Nick had to lie down in it too, so at least
what a gratuitous shirt takeoff we got there. Right. It was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary. Is this why he had to buy new clothes with Corinne?
Probably.
It's like, I can never wear these again. I don't think
they go and try and make out near a grain silo. Mm-hmm. That makes me think of two things.
What?
One, you're going to get murdered.
Mm.
That's a murdery thing. There's dead bodies in there. I know it. Two, it makes me think of the movie Aquamarine, which is a great friendship flick. And you should watch it if you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. So there's
it's starring a JoJo. Not like the Bachelor JoJo, like this pop singer JoJo.
Yeah.
Sarah Paxton, and then someone else that I can't remember.
Hmm. So there's a pivotal grain silo scene in that movie?
Yeah, like, okay, spoiler alert, Sarah Paxton's character is a mermaid.
I thought you were going to say murderer.
No, this is a feel-good movie,
okay.
Amy. So she fills this, like, grain silo. Maybe it's just one of those, you know what? I don't think it's a grain silo. I think it's one of those
water tower?
Towers. That makes more sense.
It looks similar, though.
Well, one actually has a water in it for a mermaid, so anyway, good movie.
Interesting. Does that become like her aquarium or something?
Kind of. So wow. Will, are you listening? I have seen a movie and it's called Aquamarine. That movie probably came out before Will was born.
My goodness, is Will giving you crap for not seeing movies?
He thought it was funny that I called him out for calling me out for not seeing movies.
It's like an ongoing rivalry now.
Anyway, so then a cop comes up and yells at them. And
okay, and this cop was mic'd. He's like, get down from there. Is there any point where Nick is like, I wonder if this is staged or not?
He should, because remember he set up that stage with his ex-girlfriend in Washamashmashpoco.
Shapoko. Wisconsin. Yeah, should have seen it coming.
And I went, like, obviously this is a fake out. Every hometown episode has to have, like, one fake out.
And one, like, brother that, you know, causes some sort of issue. Yeah. And this was pretty mild.
At least this one was, like, fun.
Yeah. So the brother actually seemed very mild-mannered.
Yeah.
Didn't play much of a role after that. Then they go to the house, and there's some big news regarding her dad.
Yeah, this is excellent news. Raven told us in the last episode, the episode before, that her father was dealing with brain cancer. We find out in this episode that he's completely clear. That's amazing. But, you know, I have an issue with exploiting, like, personal moments that we don't deserve to see.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those moments that we had no business seeing.
Yeah, it felt Nick looked awkward sitting there.
Yeah,
right?
Nick shouldn't have been there. Like, I just, I'm so happy for Raven. That's amazing. I'm so, that's what a relief. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's not something we needed to see.
Yeah, it doesn't have to
that
be.
That wasn't a moment for us.
Yeah, it doesn't need some, like, something like, oh, save that for when we're filming kind of thing.
Yeah.
Especially with someone you never met there before.
Yeah, especially with a guy who's trying to bang a bunch of other girls still.
Just threw your daughter down in a pool of mud.
Oh,
yeah.
I hope her father is not watching this stupid season.
Yeah. Her family seemed very welcoming and nice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first scene that we get of Nick asking for permission. I felt like it's so convoluted the way he did it. It was just sort of like, ooh, if we happen to get to this point and your daughter's okay with it.
Oh, yeah. It was annoying.
I don't even know.
He was just like, can you spit it out? Like, if you're not man enough to, like, just straight up ask me the question, then no, you can't marry my daughter. F you.
Right. And maybe that's a sign that he's like, I'm not probably going to go this route. I think you had a good tweet about, like, you know, Nick is probably feeling like, ooh, it's better now. I can dump her and she won't, like, have sad news or something. Or did you have something like that? Like, he's feeling okay about, like, just letting her go at this point.
Yeah.
At least there won't be, like, additional heartbreak. So, yeah, we saw that. Anything else that stood out to you about her family or the hometown visit?
No, I have absolutely no idea what happened after that.
No. Did you feel like you got a good feel for Hoxie, Arkansas?
Like, you could have done, like, a wide lens shot lasting 20 seconds, and I feel like I would have gotten a pretty good idea of what Hoxie's all about.
We didn't get to go to her boutique at all.
Yeah, I wanted to see that.
See,
no, we saved
life.
Our boutique for later in the episode.
Definitely. Exclusive boutiques.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. The next date is Dallas, Texas, where Rachel is from.
Yes, and Rachel took him to her church. It was a lot of fun. It was a predominantly black church, which Nick was like not like nervous about, but it was like, like, this is not an environment I'm used to. Mm-hmm. They seemed to welcome him. He had a great time. Nick really not bought into it, but like kind of let all of his reservations go and just kind of like had a good time for Rachel. Mm-hmm. Which I think if you're Rachel, that's really appreciated because it's, you know, it could be a lot to take in, like something that's super different. But I think he did well with it. And I think Rachel really appreciated it.
Do you think she was trying to get a sense of just his comfort level in that environment or
probably how
religious he was?
If you were her?
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes like certain Bachelor contestants, it's like, or Bachelorette, my faith is so important to me and I have to find somebody with my same faith. And it didn't seem like she was looking for that because he didn't allude to anything like that. He was like, oh, I was raised in my parents, but he didn't, you know, seem like that was something he would do kind of from a belief standpoint. I could be reading into it wrong, but it just wasn't, didn't seem like it was like a pastime of his or
part of his totally life right now. What you mean.
But it didn't seem like she was using that to judge him necessarily. It was more like,
no, it's just, it was more of like, this is something I do because it means a lot to me. It wasn't like, I need you to be super religious so we could be together. It was just like, this is a part of me and my life and what I do. And so I want to show you that.
What do you think the pastor going right up to them and being like, Rachel brought her boyfriend here?
I would have been super red in the face.
Yeah.
I think Nick handled it well.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to how Nick usually handles things.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about back to like when they were filming and you know how there's these spoiler sites and people, it's just, I wonder like the fact that like, ooh, they were filming at this church. I wonder like if that got out, if anyone right. was like, I got the scoop from the Baptist church in Dallas or something, or if they could kind of go under the radar there at least. So after church, they go back to meet her family. And as you alluded to, her dad was not there.
Yeah, Rachel said that her dad wouldn't be there because of a work commitment. And later, we were tweeted that Nick did meet Rachel's dad off camera. So clearly the work commitment was wanting to have a job.
Not wanting to, appear on TV, be associated with this show. Interesting that the show allowed that too, you know?
Yeah, me too.
So usually they, you know, maybe we'll call later on if it gets to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But let's see. Yeah, Rachel's... But
maybe they don't want to mess with a judge.
Yeah. Especially if they want her to be, if they're thinking she might be the next bachelorette, you know, you don't want, you're like, well, maybe he'll appear in a later season. So we can hold out hope for that. I can't imagine that they'll get away with not showing, like, him not coming at all. Like, the father has to be involved.
Yeah.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, and so Rachel's family was not afraid to ask the hard-hitting questions, like, have you ever dated a Black woman before? Do you understand the implications of it? Do you understand what comes with it being in an interracial relationship? Mm-hmm. It was super interesting. I feel like these are the conversations we've wanted to see for so long. And we are finally getting this kind of conversation.
Right. Finally, someone made it this far for us to have this conversation.
Finally, it's been what, 16 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think Nick handled the questions that were thrown at him?
I think he could have handled it better, but I don't think he like completely ruined everything.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's ever a good idea to say like, oh, I don't see color. I just see the person underneath. And it's kind of like,
yeah,
listen, no, let's not do that. You know, I liked what he was saying about like, it doesn't matter. I'm willing to do all of that because Rachel is worth it. Rachel is, I felt like, you know, I'm falling for Rachel, the person, and we've talked about these things. I understand. I'm willing to go through all of that for Rachel,
mm-hmm.
which I think is what everyone wanted to hear in that scenario.
Yeah, definitely. I thought it was interesting with her sister and her brother-in-law. When Nick was, because the brother-in-law, I think his name was Alex, was white. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't like this is a family that's like hasn't never, welcomed this is, and yeah. this never happened. It's just Rachel hasn't said she hadn't brought a white boyfriend home. But Nick was like, oh, you guys make me feel like so at home. And his sister was just like, why? Because we look like you guys. Like, we're the only like a mixed, like, you know, like,
oh,
a,
yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I liked her family a lot. They were not afraid to call Nick out on his BS.
Right. And the brother-in-law kind of had fun with him and just kind of was like, you know, hazing him a little bit, I think. Yeah. So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to see more of her family, which should be nice.
At least there's a shining line, silver lining of this weird cloud that's above us.
Exactly. Yeah, Nick had said, so with Raven, he said something like, the relationship has is moving the fastest. And with Rachel, he said it's the most explosive relationship.
So, that doesn't make sense to me. Sorry, everyone. I feel like it might have been explosive at the beginning, but I feel like it's actually been the most, like, sustained relationship.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of the most, maybe, realistic, or just kind of...
Or, like, they really, like, shot off really fast.
Yeah.
But they, like, stayed level. There was steady. No, like, super dips. There was no, like, high, like, super high peaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they've had the longest genuine connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just my opinion.
But not the the most lasting connection, as it turns out. But speaking of lasting connections, let's jump to Corinne's hometown date, which was...
More like lasting credit card bills. Holy mother. So, they go shopping. He meets Corinne in a mall. She wants to pick out some outfits for him.
Yeah. Very pretty woman. Like,
yeah, but like reverse
pretty woman. She reverse pretty woman to him, and that kind of carries through when he meets the dad, and the dad starts talking about breadwinner and everything. It's like they're not shy about showing off their money. She's on a first name basis at all these exclusive stores in Miami, and Nixon did not seem to mind. He said he had like second like anxiety as she paid the bills.
I was getting anxiety. Amy, what's the most expensive piece of clothing you've ever bought?
You know what? And it's like I learned my lesson to like never buy expensive clothes again, because I got an expensive sweater from United Colors of Benetton way back when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a gift card to use and it was on clearance. So, but I still paid like $100 because it was like, ooh, this was used to be 400 something. It's a sweater coat. But, you know, I only paid like 100. And I was like, oh, I'm getting my money's worth with this, or 75 bucks or something. And then I brought it with me. I studied abroad in London, wore it all the time. It was very like, I felt like I could blend in there with my like dark black sweater coat. I wear black pants and just like, ooh, everyone wears black clothes here. And I look so chic. And then I went to Paris on a weekend trip. My bag was stolen. It was in the bag. And it's like, I'm never investing in money again. That was my favorite sweater. And yeah, and it wasn't
devastating.
I know it was. And it's like, you're on like spending all your money to study abroad. And it's like, oh, this was my investment piece. And it was gone. So I was like so mad because everything else in that suitcase would have been just like, you know, a let's go guide and ratty jeans.
Yeah, just like, oh, whatever. But like that sweater. That
sweater. Yes, exactly. So I'm like, and they probably didn't even appreciate it. The thief was probably thinking I had a passport in there or money. They did not get what they needed. So mad. And for a while I had a Google alert for like black Benetton sweater coat and nothing ever came up. So.
Oh no.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm trying to think.
Bridesmaids dresses or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that?
Bridesmaids dress was probably my most expensive. I paid probably about 120 bucks for that dress.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a nice dress. My friend Kristen. Hi Kristen. She picked out like a good line for it. So we all had different dresses in different colors. Mm-hmm. But she was like, okay, but can you get it from this line from this store? So we all got it from there. And my dress was nice and I like it. But I bought it because I live close to the border. I found the store in the States. So I went there and that was when our dollar was a lot more even.
Mm.
So I got a reasonably good deal on it and I didn't get it like hemmed or tailored.
Yeah, and you've got like plenty of pictures, I'm sure, wearing it. So yeah, you get your money.
And I can just shorten it and wear it again.
Nice. I always say that about bridesmaids dresses. It never, never works.
I'll wear it to the next wedding I'm invited to.
Yeah. Be like, see what you could have had. This is me and my bridesmaid look.
Or like if I show up wearing a dress, it's like, oh, that was the bridesmaid dress. That's what they chose.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, one of my friends, this was before I knew her, but she got married and like one of her friends showed up in a long white dress to her wedding. Like
I would commit murder.
Yeah.
I would be so mad.
I was like, no way people actually do that. That sounds like a storyline out of Bachelor in Paradise or something. Oh my goodness.
I would be so mad.
Like, come on, people. Wedding etiquette. Anyway, yes, Corinne spends
$800 on sweatpants for Nick.
Yeah. Plus, like, a full outfit, like, line, like, $3,000 total.
Like,
it's nothing.
No. Think of all the places we could go on $3,000, Amy.
I know.
We could take this show on the road.
Oh, my gosh. We could have a live wrap-up. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Corinne, so we're starting our
GoFundUs. So www.gofundus.com/rehappa. And we'll be going on our 40-city tour with your help. I'm just kidding. Don't spend money on us, please.
Yeah. Just try to convince Corinne to spend money on us.
Yeah, we should
invest in our podcast.
We want to be friends.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of turnaround on Corinne. It's like, hey, I would love to be her best friend now.
Yeah, this episode, like, let's throw away this weird, like, spendy. Like, I loved Corinne this episode. And I think this episode really proved why she's such a compelling character. Mm-hmm. She really kind of showed, like, you know, like, I like the line where she was like, I don't care if I'm the breadwinner. I just want to be with Nick. Like, that's what's mm-hmm. important to me. It doesn't matter if he makes a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we met her family. We met Raquel. She's part of the family, which we were told from Corinne's mom as Raquel filled her wine glass. I kind of liked what they said. Like, she's not really a nanny. She's like a part of the family now.
Like a second mom.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We hear a 24-year-old has a nanny and we're like, ugh.
Yeah, they showed her. She was. I think Sean Lowe tweeted something like, Raquel is normal and I'm disappointed. Like, she's a sweet lady.
What would you expect, Sean?
Yeah. I think, like, well, they wanted some, like,
what do you, I thought we all were expecting, character. Like, a normal, wonderful lady.
Yeah. I think they were, like, expecting someone that more that Corinne would boss around and was just doting on Corinne.
I think we're undervaluing Corinne's ability to be, like, a human.
Mm-hmm. She's just actually not mean.
Yeah, no. I think what if we didn't, like, we've been kind of beating this drum. Like, the other girls, besides Taylor, seem to, like, really enjoy Corinne. And, yeah, she grinds their gears, but it's because she's annoying, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because she's, like, cruel.
Right. And when Nick and Corinne were back at the stores and he was trying on things and sort of joking about them, I mean, she was just laughing genuinely. It could have been at a thrift store or something. It was just, yeah, that's, they were her having world.
Just like a good time.
Mm-hmm. And Nick gets these bonus parting gifts if he doesn't end up with Corinne in the end. So he also tried olives and I wasn't very convinced that I think he was just afraid to say anything else. But
olives suck. So
I don't like them either. So I think if he's someone that says he doesn't have them very often, he doesn't like them. Yeah. You're either like pro olive or anti olive. And I feel you, Nick. Sometimes you just have to do things when you're meeting someone and you're in like a setting where they're providing hospitality and you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, suck it up and just like smile and act like I like this because I don't want to cause conflict if I'm not gonna see these people again, which he may not. So we meet Corinne's dad. Were you intimidated by him?
No, I was more just like, of course you drink whiskey.
Right. Or wasn't it scotch? I don't know. I can't remember. Rye. So he brought up the conversation. He was really keen to tell Nick about like, oh, Corinne's totally fine making the money.
Yeah. Like, now what is it that you do for a living since you've been doing the show for 4 years and don't have an actual job?
Yeah. He called it like it is. Like, I'm not sure if this is somebody who can support my daughter. But at least he, you know, was like, hey, if she likes you, I'm okay with it. But he
and they broke down pretty hard, which was nice, I guess.
Yeah. Does she have siblings?
Yeah, she had a sister.
A sister. Okay. Yeah. I always just pictured her as an only child, so I can't even really remember how the sister interacted.
I don't think her and Nick ever interacted, but Corinne was like, and like my sister who I love so much. Like, I remember her saying that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Think it along.
Yeah. And I think maybe it was a sister who was like, what's he gonna do? There's a lot of logistics talk on these hometown dates, which we don't normally get, I think.
No, and I think those are all reasonable things to bring up with somebody who you might get engaged to in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I feel like normally it's like, oh, how does he feel about you? Is this love? And this time it's like, where are you going to live? What's he going to do? What's his job? So. Mm-hmm.
And that was a main plot of Vanessa's date, too. Yeah. It was like, hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but you live in two different countries. What are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Maybe he's like, I'll see how the election pans out and we'll decide. Because I think I read that this was filmed a few weeks before the election or shortly before the election. So, but it was probably on everyone's mind.
Yeah, I just listened to Juliet Littman's interview with Nick, and it was for last week's episode. And he said that the engagement place is where they heard about the election.
Oh, wow. Did he get an absentee ballot? I want to know. What about these contestants? What happened?
I don't know. I just don't know, Amy.
I don't see The Bachelor being like really on top of it. Like, hey, you got to get your paperwork in order. But well, who knows? I don't think anything hung in the balance there with that cast. But you never know. Every vote counts, right? So let's see. We have Vanessa's date in Montreal, which if I were Nick, I would just want to live there because that's a cool city. I don't know why it was even a debate.
But it gets real damn cold.
Yeah, but he's from Wisconsin.
I guess so. Yeah, so it's pretty similar.
Right. And they go first to her school so he can meet the people who made the scrapbook, and they do more scrapbooking. I got a little teary just like her reuniting with her students. It was very
sweet. Yeah, it seems like they really love her and she really loves them. And it's nice to see somebody have a really positive, meaningful impact on other people.
Right. So I think that's probably a big part of why, you know, I like that her family was like, hey, you've got a great career here. You've got a life here. Yeah, what's he going to do?
I totally agree. And it's like all these students who mean so much to her and she means so much to them. Like, you're really going to go follow this floozy to L.A.?
Right. Yeah, no, she doesn't seem like she has L.A. aspirations. So maybe they could be. She's the winner. If they could be bi-coastal or something, bi-country.
Bi-country.
Yes. And they go. They're also bi. With their bi family, two different family dinners.
So this is a long day. We start with the school. Then we go to her mother's house and have a big old Italian family dinner.
That looked good. You didn't have to fake it there with the olives. You actually liked the meal.
Yeah. And then they go to her dad's house. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, I blacked out at this entire section.
Okay. So, yeah, the mom's house was just a lot more.
There's a lot of people there.
A lot of people. Her siblings were there, a brother and a sister. And
they were hard on Nick.
Yeah. Vanessa got more emotional because she saw, apparently Nick she went cried. Through a bad. Yeah. Went through a bad breakup. And so she's got her sister and brother saying, I don't want to see her get hurt, or I don't want to see you get hurt, Vanessa. And so they both got emotional, which, you know, could be a good sign that he's, you know, attached to her and things like that. But the mom was kind of tough on him, too. Just sort of like, what did she ask him? Like, so what is about my daughter compared to these other three women? And he's like, oh, like, I liked her as soon as she walked out of the limo. And the mom's like, Oh, yeah, I know she's beautiful, but who cares? Like, what else? You know, like, it better not just be about looks. So yeah. I like that. And then seeing the mom tear up a lot and just worry, like, oh, I worry she's going to get her heart broken. It really reminded me a lot of Nick's mom, where she's like, I don't want to see you go through this again. So,
yeah, really.
It could be a good sign that they have similar families or similar kind of dynamics with them. With the dad's visit, it was a lot calmer, but Nick was still trying to get that blessing, and I felt bad for the dad. I think he just like was like, oh, fine, shut up and I'll just like say I give your blessing. But
yeah, how many other people have you asked?
Right. Yeah. And then so he said he had asked everyone, which he did, and then when Vanessa talked to her dad, she's like, oh, he asked you for your blessing? Oh, that's a game changer. So she's like promoting Survivor. That's a game changer. But then quickly gets.
Her dad was like, no.
Right. Gets the rug pulled out from under her. And he's like, she said, did you ask him if he asked anyone else? He's like, yep, he asked everyone. So that didn't sit well. So how would you react, Haley? No, it didn't sit well,
and apparently she's going to go talk to him. And we keep getting, like, faked out. So last week, we're like, who is this? And then this week, they're like, oh, it's Vanessa. And then at the end of this episode, they're like, jokes, it's actually Andy. And we're like, what the shit? Why?
Yeah, they show, like, two different people coming to his hotel.
Yeah, so like, I think we are going to get, like, a Vanessa conversation.
Yeah. I was so confused because then I thought, okay, they did a fake out. It's just Vanessa. That's so lame. And then Andy is coming back. What can Andy really say to him?
I don't know. I have no, I like Andy. She's great. I have no interest in seeing this conversation because it's so fake.
Mm-hmm. What's she going to give him, like, fantasy suite advice? Like,
I don't know.
Don't expose this. Don't do this. It didn't work out for you before.
Yeah.
Oh, so weird. Yeah. But we'll find out. And hopefully get a rose ceremony at some point.
Yeah, well, next week is supposed to be 3 hours, so I'm sure we're going to get it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's in the questions. We'll get to it.
Oh, we'll get to it. What are your predictions in terms of who is going to get the cut this next episode from after
Rachel? I'm hoping it's Rachel.
Just to clear the air. Yeah. Just like clean slate. Then we don't have to discuss this anymore. There's no spoilers after that. But I just don't see it after their hometown date. I don't think there was any real conflict.
Unless, yeah, there's no reason not to.
Unless he's just like, I hate this church. I just faked it. I don't want to go. I don't know. We're too different. But it seemed like they were one of the strongest. So aside from that, we're back in New York, which is, I guess, the place where they congregate.
It's Nick's favorite city in the world.
Yeah. Okay. They have to go there to catch their next flight to Finland or something. I don't know.
Who knows?
Or that's just where Andy was.
Yeah, we're just here. This is their world. We're just living in it.
Exactly. But at least the hotel has plenty of clear glass balconies that you can stand out over as you contemplate your future and start crying, leaning over. So we got a lot of that. And then I think that's about it. We have fantasy suite dates to look forward to. Now, before we get into questions, we have draft updates.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. We're losing.
We are losing
like, bad. There's literally no way for us to catch up.
I like what George tweeted. He said, Jordan, 170 points. Amy, 118. Haley, 103. And then he says, insert attempt to leave doubt in this season's draft results. So there's really, like, I don't know how anyone can come back from this.
No, let's move on. I'm done.
Okay. We just completely forgot to share a review last week.
Oh yeah,
but do you have
so I
two
we
to
have
share?
Two to make up for it.
Nice.
I have one from Subatomic Cowboy. I know who this is.
Oh really?
Our other favorite, Will.
Oh,
Subatomic. It's from Subatomic Cowboy. Sorry if I just outed you, but it's your Twitter handle, so come on. He said, more platinum than Corinne's vagine. I've never watched The Bachelor until I got sucked in by these two, so I guess it's their fault. But you'll never find two funnier podcasters to break down the most absurd TV show on air today. P.S. If you complain about vocal fry, your face is vocal fry. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Very nice.
And then we have one from SarahGD1234. The title is Bachelor Mania. I read that as Bachelor Mama, so I think I should start wearing my glasses. Okay. And she says, I really enjoy listening to Amy and Haley talk about this garbage fire show, especially when they talk about the scenes I have skipped because I hate conflict on my TV screen. They always have great guests like Angela and Jordan. I never skip parts of this podcast, unlike I do for some other pods I listen to.
Ooh,
thanks for skipping the show and not us.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad we can... that we're able to recap what we kind of breeze through sometimes. Yes, it is challenging. So thank you to you both for those wonderful reviews. We love to hear from you in all forms. But iTunes reviews really help out the show. They help out Rob Has a Podcast in general and the wrap ups feed just for other people to find the show. So thank you to all
of you. If you are living in a country that is not Canada or the US and you review our show, please screenshot it and send it to us. We won't be able to see them in our iTunes store, but yes, we'd love to see them. So if you do that, send it to us.
And we're still brainstorming like a fun little surprise for somebody who reviews during this year, and you know, there's like more chances, I feel like, this time, like, because there's sort of like fewer to pick from. It's a little bit like, maybe people are like, what are you going to get? We don't know. But you have a better chance of your review being read if you leave one, I'm saying right now. So that's my advice on that. And we will be back after a quick break to answer all of your wonderful questions. Okay, Haley, let people know how they can email us, because we got some great emails this week.
Yeah, we got a lot of great emails. And we also got a couple questions of what the email address is. So write this down. I'll wait a second for you to grab a piece of paper or open the Notes app on your telephone. Our email is at bachelorrehapup@gmail.com. It's just an easy way for you to send us like a long form question if you have it, or if you don't really use Twitter or aren't in the patron group on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you have a question, send that to us. We love your emails. It makes my day good.
Nice. So we've got an email from Annabelle. She says, I also tweeted this, but he's terribly conflicted because he wants to choose Corinne, but knows that will kill his future marketability. He's right. The process isn't working for him. What are your thoughts on that, Haley?
I think I need to see how the season ends and kind of see what happens in the aftermath of it. Like, if he pulls a Mesnick and ends up like breaking up with whoever he picks for Corinne, then I'll definitely buy that.
Oh my gosh. Is Nick like so fame hungry that he would try to do like Mesnick 2.0?
Maybe.
Oh my goodness. Like, leave his like real choice hanging and like pick one person. Then after the final rose, he'll say, no, it's not right. Oh my gosh. Maybe he is.
Maybe.
Who knows?
You can't put anything past him.
No, you really can't at this point. I really like when he was on the date with Corinne, so much of it I felt like was him being like, ooh, we get to meet Raquel. Like, I felt like he was a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Producing his date or producing his hometown a little bit, even though I think they do have a genuine connection. Lori wrote in to say, I watched The Bachelor the day after, usually in pieces as it is so freaking long. So I usually don't have it watched in time to get questions or comments in before you record your podcast. Side note, I only started watching because Rap started covering it. So Desiree's season was my first ever foray into this weird, wild world. Awesome. I'm only watching the rest of the season to see how Nick screws things up with Rachel. I hope to God she doesn't make it all the way to the end. Oh no, do they get engaged and then break it off so quickly that they make her the next bachelorette?
That'd be something.
That would be. Does he finally give in to Corinne's advances and Rachel leaves? Does Mr. Rachel's daddy kick Nick to the curb on the hometown visit? Okay, ABC, you've got me hooked now. Well played. I miss Danielle M. and Christina and Alexis. At least I could root for budding friendships when they were still around. I was truly sad for Christina when Nick said goodbye, but I feel like it might be the first decent thing he's done all season. Hashtag dodged a bullet, girl. That's a lot to unpack. What are your reactions?
The friendships are kind of like my favorite part, so I agree there. Mm-hmm. I wish we got more friendship.
Right. We saw peaks of it on Ben's season. We tend to see it more kind of in the Twitter friendships that form after or as they're tweeting the show. You're like, oh, so this is who Alexis is friends with. This is who's hanging out. You know, they Instagram it. And then hopefully on Bachelor in Paradise, you see a little bit of, you know, who's buddy buddy. Mm-hmm. But not everyone makes the cut to Bachelor in Paradise. No. So, yeah, who did I see? Alexis was hanging out with Olivia from Ben's season. I think I saw it tweeted.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if they're from the same hometown or maybe they're both in Bachelor in Paradise casting calls.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe Olivia's come around now that she's like, you know what? Just let it breathe for a minute. And now I want to be on it. Never know. So I like the spin of like, okay, now I just want to see what happens with Rachel. Like, how does it end?
Yeah.
Because we are, you know, we have to have something to, you know, make it interesting. So that's a good way to do it. Well, we know that Rachel's daddy did not kick Nick to the curb on the hometown visit. So we got that option cleared, unless he shows up later. So that's good. This is from Andrew Yates. After watching the hometown dates, I think it's clear that Nick will dump Rachel because he feels threatened by the other bearded white guy in her family. And is The Bachelor different in Canada? Because it seemed like Vanessa's family didn't understand how the show works. It was like they expected Nick to be honest with them about his intentions. So silly.
Maybe. Here's just a theory. Maybe they have it in like, they have it subtitled. Mm. So the subtitles come out weird.
Right. Yeah, because Vanessa, at first I was like, oh, she's just playing that she hasn't really seen it. And that's just something she's going to do to get close to Nick. But the fact that she gets so upset that, oh, he won't tell me something to make me feel more secure.
Yeah.
Makes me think that she's like, oh, wait, maybe I'm not the one he picks. He's not that, you know, I'm not standing out in any way. But she could be. He just can't tell her. Andrea, did you notice at the end of Corn's hometown date, the camera panned from Raquel cleaning up after dinner to her family peeking out the window saying how cute it was to watch Corn and Nick kiss? I love it when the editors throw very subtle shade. That was the first time Raquel actually ate at the table with the family, right? So let's start with that question.
I feel like she gets to sit down after she finishes making dinner and then she has to go do the dishes after.
Yeah, it's rushed, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why she was so polite. It was like, ooh, I want to make this a permanent thing. You just set the table. Oh, my goodness. I actually didn't notice that. So I love when they do that. And so I'm glad that somebody picked up on it. And then she also asks, which family member gets the award for funniest minor character? I know it's probably Rachel's brother-in-law, but I like the flying baby at Vanessa's house.
Oh my god.
So good. I could not keep track of Vanessa's family.
There's so many of them and they all look alike.
Yeah, that could be good for, you know, Nick's used to that, so it's not gonna overwhelm him, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, right. But can you imagine their wedding is gonna be 1500 people of just immediate family?
Yeah, maybe he's looking for the most bang for his buck and he'll be like, bachelor producers, you gotta pay for a huge wedding. Yeah, so let's go this route. Because Corinne's family could just pay for it otherwise.
Yeah.
And then, are you all more upset that we didn't get to see Raven take Nick to her crappy clothes boutique or that we didn't get to meet Rachel's Mr. Daddy, sir?
I don't know. Which one are you more disappointed in?
I kind of wanted to see the clothes boutique. I think we saw it maybe in her intro package, though.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because I know now that Rachel's the bachelorette, so I'm sure we'll meet this dad figure at some point. But I would have liked to see like Nick sort of squirm because he was so uncomfortable in a lot of situations. Yeah. And then, do you all respect her father more for not appearing on the show? Apparently Nick did meet him, but it wasn't on camera. Thanks for always live tweeting the show. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I do respect him more.
Well, it's so funny.
He has a serious real life job, so can you imagine going in there in like a criminal? I don't really understand totally what he does.
Yeah.
But like a criminal comes in and was like, I saw you on The Bachelor. You can't do anything about what I'm doing.
Yeah. Or just his colleagues probably would rip him about it. Yeah, that's true. You can't be impartial. You are on a dumb show. Yeah. So you have no judgment.
Yeah.
Peg says, hi, Amy and Haley. For this entire season, I finally have come to the conclusion that Nick is not only a wannabe actor, always aware of the cameras are, but he's a ventriloquist as well. He always talks with his teeth together and a half smile. Love your show.
That's so funny. He totally does do that, especially when he's like uncomfortable.
I know. It's always the most like pivotal conversations, talking to the parents. And
he's like always talking like this.
I'm surprised they haven't had to subtitle him at all. And then Twitter questions. This is from @TNTownShun. Interesting that Nick has selected career-driven women when he currently has no real career.
Yeah, isn't that kind of interesting? Like, all
that is a good point.
All four women have like a serious thing that's like kind of keeping them where they are.
Right.
And it's Nick is probably going to be like, no, no, ain't with me. No.
Who do you think would be able to move the easiest?
Well, Rachel would have to take the California bar.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Raven would have to like sell her store and like all of her stock. So that's not easy.
Right.
Vanessa could probably get a teaching job fairly easily. But like, I think it's like more emotionally intense to leave her job.
Right. Yeah. And she's bilingual and it's with adults.
Trilingual.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And Corinne, well, she can't do her job without Raquel bringing her cucumbers.
Yeah, Raquel would have to make the move too, but she could probably do her job virtually. It looked like it was a lot of computer work. So that could work. Or just fly back and forth all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
At George CTV, our wonderful scorekeeper, who we could not do this without, said, was Corinne's dad implying he made / spiced the olives like his secret recipe, or did Raquel make them? They were really like, they were really invested. The mom too, like, gave Nick a death stare. Like, you like it, right?
Like, olives are gross. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. See, you know, I guess it is a Greek thing. So Greek salads. I always just, it's, I'm sure people who love olives are really mad right now, because, but I always pick them out of everything. And then at Randy Bailey 1720, not fair. The Bachelor should be like Survivor. No Canadians. Ooh, that was very pointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this Canadians why you... rule. Suck it, Randy. Woo!
Now he, you spoiled him on
The Bachelor. Well, like, he hadn't heard the news. So what happened was, like, I was like, oh, he said something about, like, they've already announced the next Bachelor. He's like, wait, what? So I, like, sent him the link, and he was like, oh, shoot, I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was, like, heartbroken.
No. Yeah, he's probably excited, because we've talked with him in preview podcasts or other podcasts before, where it's like, okay, when are they going to do this? These, you know, diverse contestants are never going to get a fair shot. So finally... producers listen, you know, they're just doing it to spite Randy, but they are changing things up this next season, so that's good. And our good friend at Ange Pelagi, Angela Bloom, says, serious question, why is Nick so obsessed with what the girls call their dads?
Yeah, I didn't notice that until she pointed out, but that kind of creeps me out a little bit.
He really wanted to know. And we've got three girls that call their dads daddy in Rachel, Raven, and Corinne. So maybe if it's a narrowing down process, I think Vanessa is in luck.
Yeah.
Because she's going to speak in French to her dad. So even if she is saying daddy, he won't know.
Père.
Yeah. Papa, père. Yeah. I don't
Papa,
remember.
Oui, la... Papi. Anana.
I don't know. It was so funny, so the contrast of, like, her dad and stepmom, just so calm.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, a small little visit later in the evening.
Just drinking some cash wine.
Yeah. She seems like she has a fun life.
Yeah.
Or rewarding. Satisfying. Tia Townshun, she says, I find it interesting the conversation that Nick had with Corinne's dad. As much as we malign her for being a business owner, her father has a valid point. All of the final four women have strong careers and ties to their communities. Nick is a drifter of sorts, as he is no longer living in Wisconsin and doing computer programming. He's in LA and acting, in quotes, or reality TV personality. Looking at the potential four women left, do you find it interesting that he has gravitated to women who are settled and less likely to leave their communities and is in fact self-sabotaging himself? What do you think about that, Haley?
I'm super interested by this. I think he's always gravitated to super strong women. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with, you know, Andy. We've seen that with Caitlin. We've seen that with his top however many people. Maybe he's, like, looking for, like, a true home base, and he just kind of needs to find the person to create that. Hmm. Am I giving him too much credit there?
Maybe. I mean, I think he has said he likes strong personalities. He likes strong women. That's what he gravitates towards. I think it's kind of like the women on the show, they aren't thinking about the logistics at this point. None of them have had those conversations, and their families called them out on it. So I think he hasn't looked at that part either. And maybe it'll come out. Maybe these were sort of a wake up call because The Bachelor is just this fantasy world. So you think, oh yeah, we're going to continue having these wonderful dates. Real life doesn't exist. But I would like to see him move to wherever the woman is.
Because, me too. Like, give me some of that.
Yeah, that would be good. You know, his little acting roles or whatever could just, you know, fly out for the two bookings he's going to get or whatever. And he might do better in a different city where it's like, ooh, he's a big star. He could be
Yeah, really. Like, he could probably get on all of, like, the local commercials in Montreal.
Oh, yeah. He also, I think his scarf look that he had on Andy's season would probably fit in well. I feel like it's a little more international, a little more French. So I think his style would go well there. Mackenzie Lynn says, JoJo's season was the first I've ever remembered where they had a male contestant of Asian descent eliminated first night from Canada and East Indian, Ali. Do you think that Rachel's season will be the most diverse in the type of diversity? It would be really great if we saw more than just black and white, but everything in between, basically showing what the world looks like. They tend to do that on the Bachelor seasons, but not so much on the Bachelorette. P.S. If they did bring a returning contestant, my top three for Rachel are Ali, Wells, and Markel. Oh, I haven't even really thought about the returning contestants.
But... yeah, I think Wells and Rachel would be really great together.
They would be cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we didn't get enough of Ali.
I don't think we did either. I do think that this has the potential to really kind of break open the floodgates of what it is that we've been wanting to see for a very long time. And I think you're right. We have seen more diversity in the Bachelor cast in the last few years than we have in the Bachelorette cast for whatever reason. So I'm looking forward to just kind of seeing who we can bring into the mix, and, you know, whether that this season will really inspire future seasons castings to kind of get or to bring in different people.
Right. And I would really like to see some guys that we've seen before apply or show up on this season, The Bachelorette, rather than holding out to like, oh, I just want to hang out on Bachelor in Paradise. If they see Rachel as someone that they would be interested in, I'd like to see them like actually make a go for it. And I always like to see a returning contestant just because you have that familiarity there. So, and it causes drama. So I would like that. Jonathan Hoyter. So does Vanessa just realize that she isn't the only girl left?
Maybe she just has not seen this and she got confused, like, oh, you're coming home with me, that means I'm the last one, cool.
Yeah, I think maybe she had a little bit of a front runner feeling. There's always somebody that does. She just doesn't have that the negativity that comes with it in the edit, but yeah. Maybe she just felt very secure for, she almost has that like that first one-on-one date vibe, even though she didn't get the first one-on-one date, but she just had these strong dates with him. And oh well, you're not the only one left, Vanessa. You'll have to wait it out and see. Cassie Dietrich wants to know, why did Vanessa agree to do the Vanessa Andy fake out shot? Do you even think about that part of the behind the scenes?
Like, I think that actually happened and we're just being messed with. Like, I don't know. I think we do see this conversation.
What I was wondering is, it's like, is Vanessa going to show up when Andy's there? And then it would be dramatic. Like, why are you hanging out with your ex in the hotel room?
Oh my God. She probably doesn't even know what Andy looks like.
No, that's true. Then we have, in addition to the Facebook questions, we have Facebook questions from the patron group. Kristen Schmidt wants to know, did Nick make the right choice regarding which outfit he let Corinne buy him? Should he have gone with the hat?
No, never buy a hat like that.
Yeah, hat. An expensive hat is even more of a waste of money, I feel like.
Yeah.
But $800 sweatpants. He was like, oh, the shirt's only $650, so that's a deal.
At least he understood how ridiculous this all was.
It's true. Gregory McBean, this might be too evil, or vile even, winky face, but should Nick just have Vanessa wait for him for like 6 months, marry Corinne, divorce her, take half her money, then marry Vanessa and never work another day in his life?
You can't tell me that Corinne's dad doesn't already have a prenup on file ready right? to go for her.
That's true. He was much more interested in just like, where is the money coming from? And more than happy to be like, my daughter's got you covered. But not if you break her heart. But that is a pretty well thought out plan, because I just wouldn't have thought of that. So I like hypotheticals. Dave Bacher. What family would you include in a hometown visit? Would they all be allowed to talk to the Bachelor?
I would include my mom, my dad, my brother, my boyfriend, my cat, maybe my best friend. And like, I don't know, that's it probably. Like, I'm
so
sure
my boyfriend interviewing another potential boyfriend.
Yeah, because I'm not going to break up with my current boyfriend to go on the show.
That would be pretty interesting if they brought the other.
Oh, did I not tell you I'm polyamorous? Well, this is my other boyfriend. Exactly. That'd be a twist.
What's that show where it's like, is it like four weddings where they go and watch other people's weddings and then they vote on who has the best wedding? What if they brought the other women on the other hometown dates just to sit around and be like, look, this is who Elsie has. Like, do you think she's the front runner now?
I want that so bad.
That'd be great. Or if they just, like, yeah, hung out in the city and they could, like, trash talk the other city. Like, Hoxie doesn't have anything to do.
Just, God, can you imagine?
Brian Altshul wants to know, why was Nick being interviewed by Raquel?
Because, like, Raquel's there. They have to do more with her than just, like, watch her wash dishes. Sorry, I'm in Yon City tonight. It's past my bedtime.
Well, and Raquel's, like, more the mom than the mom, right? Like, she got the mom spot on this hometown. Yeah, really. Christopher Taransky, seriously, what does he think the chances are that Raven doesn't know this cop in a town of 1,000 people? I spent a lot of time in small Arkansas towns, and everyone knows everybody.
Yeah, especially coming from, like, a smallish town himself.
Right. Although he's more suburban, I think. So he says he's more a city guy, but yeah, it was a little forced. Humberto Daniel Urrutia Camargo. I always say it differently. I think as funny as it is to make fun of Corinne, and as much as the edit has tried to bury her, she seems like a really nice and sweet girl. A little immature, but she is 23. What can we expect? Having a nanny living with you is very noble, if you ask me. My nanny lives now with my sister. She raised us and gave us the best years of her life, as well as love, after we all grew up. She is now 59. It will be very difficult for her to find a job, so she lives with my sister. And yeah, she helps by cooking, and some people can consider her the help, but it is a family member that gets paid, but lives in the house, sits with us for dinner at the table, is included on Secret Santa, and is my nephew's godmother. Oh, that's very sweet. I understand that concept can be a little difficult to understand, but it works. It is very common in Latin, Italian, and Greek culture. If you ask me, Corinne is way too good for Nick, and her dad was a little chauvinist, but again, something we are dealing with as a culture after so many years of living like that.
I really love this viewpoint from Humberto. Like you said, this is something that I would never really thought of, because you just kind of hear the word nanny and it's like, you gotta be kidding me. Mm-hmm. But when you put it like this and saying how, like, yeah, like, you know, the Mediterranean cultures, like a lot of them, this is completely normal. And it's like, oh yeah, like that makes sense to me. And yeah, like, I think, like, you can see how much, like, Corinne loves Raquel and how much Raquel loves Corinne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like the kids grow up, but she was there with them all through the day. And, like, would they rather have her around than just, like, a cleaning service or somebody else? You know, she still wants employment. And so it's like, why not have somebody that you can treat as a family member?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Justin Feinberg. Why do the producers hate us so much this season? Why is next week's episode only an hour long? And why are the two episodes following that 3 hours long?
Yeah, so I made a mistake. I messaged him back being like, wait, what?
Yeah,
and he said,
yeah,
like, according to my DVR and my something else. Like, that's the scoop.
That, I don't have any answers for this.
I don't either.
I appreciate the heads up, as much as I am not looking forward to the 3 hour episodes. But, okay, so if next week's episode is only an hour, this is them going into fantasy suite dates, potentially. So it's probably just going to be a big, like, to be continued, you know. We'll figure out who, they'll have the Andy talk, we'll figure out who's not making it, and they'll probably just go in, like, just arrive in the hometown, or the fantasy suite area.
Yeah, like, I'm confused. And where does, whatchamacallit fit in? Women Tell All.
Right.
So then, like, is that going to be 3 hour, or is, like, it going to be an hour of something else?
Right. Like, do we gain an episode that we didn't need?
I don't know. Don't do that to me.
So I'm thinking the 3 hours is going to be the fantasy suites, all the drama from that. But then the next one, is it a 3 hour Women Tell All? That can't be.
No, they wouldn't do that to us.
Interesting. Steve Chung, don't the Bachelors always ask the father for permission for each of the final four? Has Vanessa not seen the show before? So that's a common theme. I don't think she's really, you know, looked into the show very much.
Yeah, and I don't think it always happens. In Ben's season, it didn't happen. He waited to call Lauren's dad until he broke up with JoJo. I think if you're going to do it, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, wait till then.
You're like,
then
no, there know. Is no other women. Your daughter is the one. This is it. I have very mixed feelings about about my father being asked anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if it were to be done, I wouldn't want four, like three other fathers to be asked too. Like, right. I want that reserved for me. Right. And I don't care. Like, let's pretend that this is a big deal to me. I would be more upset if he was asking a lot of other people.
Yeah.
If that really was a big deal to me.
Right. Yeah. I remember way back. I can't remember. I know on Trista's first season, she thought it was like such a big deal that Ryan asked her parents and or her dad, and the other guy, Charlie, did not. But I don't think she was expecting it from either of them.
Right.
And so it was clearly like something that, even if it wasn't important to her, she was really touched by it.
Yeah.
And it became important.
Like, that's different to me, like to be on The Bachelorette. If you're like one of the last few guys, like, yeah. Do it. Right. Yeah, you know, what do you have to lose? It's the parents aren't going to be upset that two guys are doing it.
Right.
But like, you know, if you're asking for my daughter's hand in marriage, I want you to be only asking one person.
Right. Yeah. And I think it was Vanessa's dad who was like, OK, try to imagine when you have a daughter or something.
Yeah.
Like, would you want to, you know, be honest? Like, would you?
Because it would be, because then, to me, Nick's going through the motions because he's doing what he thinks he has to do, rather than like, this is something that means a lot to him and he knows means a lot to the other person. Mm-hmm. So he's going out of his way, blah, blah, blah. Like, it completely loses all meaning in my opinion when you ask all four fathers.
Right. Well, and Scott St. Pierre, who does a great job producing the show, he has a good point here. He says, earlier in the season, didn't Nick say he wouldn't ask every dad for their blessing, then turn around and essentially ask every dad and Rachel's mom for their blessing?
Yeah. So I just, I don't like it because if it, like I said, if it means a lot to you, then you're not going to appreciate him asking more than one person.
Yeah. He had that whole spiel where it's like, Oh, I asked like different dads and I don't like that feeling. Now it's like, oh well, just ask four more. Doesn't matter.
And what he did before was different because he thought that was happening. Like, he thought right. That was it.
That was more genuine for sure. Yeah. So yeah, good questions, everybody. Haley, is there anything more you'd like to say about this episode or your thoughts on what's to come?
I don't have any more thoughts, but I'm gonna give you Doug's.
Oh yes.
Okay, give me 1 second. Do. Okay, so take one. Raven and Nick's weird swamp makeout session seemed like the start of a high-end Southern porno, or an awareness ad to avoid leeches. We forgot about leeches.
Ew.
We forgot about those. Disgusting.
Well, I won't forget. I'll never forget.
I think Rachel not winning is directly related to her super creepy brother-in-law. No one wants to spend every Christmas and Thanksgiving trying to make conversation with that dumbass.
Oh, the maybe shot a of more polarizing figure than I thought.
The shot of Raquel cleaning dishes while the rest of the family looks out the window deserves an Emmy.
Well, I must have looked down when this happened.
I think I did too. I missed this. If Corinne's mom's face is real, it defies gravity.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that? I mean,
I did. It was a little
If scary. You can afford Botox, get it, girl. Mm. I think Nick is hoping to move to Montreal so that when Vanessa dumps him, he can have one more kick at the can as the Bachelor Canada.
I would not put it past him.
I know, that's what I said. I was like, I'd still watch it.
Yeah, we would. Those are great. Always like to have those. And we also love to have you join us on social media. I'm at RHAP Recapper. Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_, on Snapchat, @hstrong28. My blog has been more active as of late, and that's haleystrong.wordpress.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Haley, as always, it's lovely to talk to you. And
to talk to you.
Yes. We'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.